In Psalms 148, David actually gives the words to the song that we just sang. And it was this same David who could write in the book of Psalms chapter 91 that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And down, actually, in verse 11, he says that God will give his angels charge concerning thee. Now we know that was prophetic, actually, of the Christ who would come into the world and die for the sins of men. And you remember that was one of the statements that the devil made unto Jesus when he offered him various temptations, that God would give him charge concerning legions of angels. You know, it's almost hard for us to believe and comprehend tonight that angels are watching over us. But is it really true that we have guardian angels? And is it really true and realistic for us to believe that the angels of God are ministering servants of the Lord? You know, the number 911 strikes a responsive chord in every one of us. The evil of that day has etched permanently in our minds many things. We recently hear about storms in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and in Joplin, Missouri, and other places around the United States of America, and they have now said that the year 2011 was the year of the tornado. More people have been killed by tornadoes this year than ever before. And the worst tornado to ever hit the United States of America occurred in Joplin, Missouri, since 1950. Isn't that amazing? It is. And many, many times we are left to wonder why. I want to talk to you tonight about the terror of randomness and searching for sense in the midst of tragedy. Tragedy seems to happen randomly every day. And that really makes our world a very scary place, because when we awaken in the morning and we think it's going to be a great day, only to be surrounded by bad news or bad events or things that happen to us. The problem is not something bad happens to innocent people, because accidents happen every day. We have examples of that. Daily do they happen. But the why question is never the same with most people when you stop and think about it. If there is suffering in the world, and by the way, there is, we can look around us and see that. But you know what? Most of us want the predictability of it. We want to be able to predict, or to be able to know in our mind when it is going to happen, and so therefore we can get ready for it. Because if we were aware of the predictability of it, then we could make preparation for it. But it is apparent that the randomness of tragedy we're not privy to, and it is most terrifying. Today, when we were talking about the veterans of war and those who have given their lives in war, we understand the terror that takes place in the minds of those who serve. Many soldiers perhaps have asked the same haunting question: why? I remember talking to George Ward some time ago before his death. And many of you are aware of the fact that George landed in one of those first ships or crafts that actually landed at Omaha Beach in Normandy. And George said, "I don't understand why God allowed me to live, because when we landed, they were firing at us, and immediately many of my friends died all around me, but I was left and I was spared." And why that happened, I do not know. He said many, were unscathed and physically. But even those who survived felt guilty and angry about what had happened, and they felt empty. They were ashamed that they were spared when their friends had to go through great tragedy. Sometimes people who face tragedy in life make statements like this: if only I had stayed longer, or perhaps maybe if I had taken another route, My loved one would not have been killed in an automobile accident, or that would have not happened. Or if we'd just gone another way, you know, it would not have happened that we experienced a drive-by shooting. But things happen. And even in some strange way, we have a tendency to blame ourselves. There are two questions we have to deal with when we think about this. One of them is the question, why? The reason why is a question because we expect order to life. That's just the normal thing. God, after all, orders the world. For we read in the book of Genesis 8 and 22, he said that while the earth remains, there will remain seed time and harvest. Summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. And in 1 Corinthians 14:33, he says it again. God rules in the affairs of men. God is in control. And so because God orders the world, we want to order our world. We don't like the unexpected. We don't like the random things to happen in our life, but it does. I read this week about a family who lived in a Midwestern town that suddenly their lives were shattered by a storm. Those things happen. We don't understand why it happens. Why did a tornado hit Joplin, Missouri and take out about two-thirds of the town? Why did it hit Tuscaloosa, Alabama? Why did it hit Palestine, Texas a number of years ago and take out a school here in our city? We don't understand those kinds of things. Why is it that a middle-aged man who eats right and exercises to fight off heart disease, but sometimes they end up coming down with cancer? Why does that happen? A husband takes a long-awaited trip with his family and a terrible crash occurs as a result of a drunk driver. Several years ago, I preached a funeral for a fellow who moved to the area from down in Houston. But he had been the victim of a drunk driver out on the highway, and it left him completely paralyzed from his waist down. And he said he often asked that question, why? Why did this happen to me? Why didn't it happen to someone else? Why do I have to suffer? Why did I have to go through this? Because I love God. I was trying to do what was right, and all of this happened. We ask ourselves the question, where is the order in each of those situations? The question, why? Someone said, one day we wake up and realize what only wisdom will deliver. And that's the wisdom, by the way, that James says that we get from God. It's not something that we acquire of ourselves. For what happens to us is much out of our control. Sometimes there are just no satisfactory answers, even when you read the Bible. I've had people come to me and say, tell me why this happened. Why did this happen? Why did it occur? Why did a woman lose her husband early on in life? There's no answer. There's no sensible pattern. Why? But then there is the second question, and that is the what if. There again, sometimes people blame themselves. Sometimes people think, well, it wouldn't have happened if I had just done something a little bit different than the way I did it. And you know, again, sometimes people want to, here again, experience the predictability of events that happen in life. But do we really want to know the future? If I were to ask you that question tonight, how many of you would really like to know the future for your life? You know, you probably would be a little bit more fearful of knowing the future than you are being in the abstract. Now, that's true. Now, that might sound a little crazy to you, but that probably is true. If you knew that you were going to die within the next month, what would be going through your mind? Could you ever get it off of your mind? No, you'd be dwelling on it every day, every moment. You would be counting it down. You would be going in and maybe Xing off the days on the calendar. God doesn't allow us to know that. Would we really like to know? I'll tell you one thing, that option is not open to us. The best thing that you and I can do with regard to the randomness of terror and problems and tragedy is to strengthen the roots of our faith. Now, when we are buffeted by the storms of life, James chapter 1, we will survive. I heard a story this week on the evening news, and they were talking about over in Joplin, Missouri, one woman had been out searching for her mother, who was an elderly woman. And she had searched high and low. Everybody was trying to find everybody. And you remember the story of, or the scenario if you've seen it on television. And this woman searched and searched. And finally they led her back into the neighborhood where she lived and where mom lived. And they found her in a building that had totally been collapsed. But the closet was bent way over. And in that closet they found this woman with a Bible clutched in her hand as if she were praying unto God. Now I'm telling you folks, what we need to do is strengthen our faith, the roots of our faith in God. Like the trees that bend with the wind, they survive because their roots are anchored deep in the soil. And you know how we survive the tragedy of life is by anchoring our roots deep in God and in our faith. Now, there's some things that happen in life we don't understand. We don't know why it's happening to us. Sometimes we wonder, why is it that some die in storms and others do not? We live in hope. Hope that in spite of tragedy, life is still worth living. I think one of the greatest stories in all of the Bible about tragedy and sudden tragedy is the story of Job. Job is a story about prosperity and virtue. It is about a man who loved God and about a man who probably was as spiritually mature as anybody has ever been. And yet the Bible says that Satan launched his attack against Job. Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught?" He said, "Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and the substance of his is increased daily in the land." He says, "Put forth thy hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon him put not forth thy hand." So Satan went forth in the presence of the Lord. Now we can read the book of Job and read the outcome of all of that. And Job lived through it. He probably would like to have skipped a few chapters, but he couldn't. For Job's perspective changed when he finally stopped talking about God and came to know God. Job chapter 38. You know, a lot of people talk about God and they talk about their faith and how much they love the Lord and how strong their faith is. And yet, you know, sometimes a little calamity can come along and our faith is shaken and we blame God and we're ready to give up the faith. We make shipwreck the faith and instead of really trusting God. When the Lord answered Job out of a whirlwind, he said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge?" He says to Job, "Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and you will answer me. Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, if you have understanding." Job didn't know how to answer that. He didn't know what to say. But through it all, Job learned two important truths. One of them was that behind the apparent randomness of his tragedy, there was an awesome, almighty creator who was in control of all things, even though he couldn't see it. You know tonight that God is in control of all things? He is. We don't understand it. But God is in control of all things. And what seemingly is bad sometimes ends up working for our good. You know, sometimes when you stop and think about wheat itself, you know, the little grain of wheat, it's amazing. And you know, when that wheat is crushed and it has to go through that breaking it down, to go through the refining of it where we can use it, we get it out of the field. You know, sometimes God has a way of grinding us. He has a way of breaking us down for the purpose of refining us. And when we go through these trials and these problems in life, we just have to remember that God, in His own way, is refining us for something much better. But Job also learned a second thing. He learned that in suffering, God gave him power. Power to decide how to respond. You ever thought about it? When you go through problems, do you know what? God gives you the power to decide how you're going to react or respond to that situation. He does. Job's response impacted other people. And his response mattered to God. And you know what? Our response matters to God as well. The book of Job is a story of blessing and betrayal. When we get to the end of the story, and we realize that the end is not the end. Like Job, the story is a story within a story, and one he could not see. God's providence was at work in all of that tragedy to bring about a higher purpose. You know, when Job went through all of that, Job would look back on his life, and he would say to God, there were conversations with God and Job through all this, and he would look at it and he would say, not only did he ask questions about life and tragedy and the randomness of all these bad things that were going on in his life, and stop and think about him. I mean, here was a man who had everything going for him, but suddenly everything is taken away. It's all gone. His family is gone. His money is gone. His herds are gone. His house has been blown away. His wife is telling him to curse God and die to get out of his misery that had been brought upon him as a result of Satan, because this man had boils all over his body, from the crown of his head down to the soles of his feet. But you know what? Job could look back and he could say unto God, he says, God, you know what? I had heard of you, but he said, now I know you. And there is a tremendous difference between saying, hey, I've heard of you, God. Preacher told me about you. And then getting to know God. I think about Joseph in the Old Testament. It too was a story of blessing and betrayal. And how Joseph said to his brothers, but as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it for good to bring all of this to pass, as it is this day, to save many people alive. The story of Job and Joseph remind us that our lives fit into a holy place beyond what our minds can even comprehend. People always ask the question, why am I here? What is my purpose in life? What is life really all about? Your life is like a huge landscape that extends far beyond what the eye can see. And who knows how one experience in life, a so singular, horrible tragedy, can set in motion a chain of events that will bring about good to you and your family and others in this world for years to come. I think that's what Paul alluded to in Romans 8 and 28 when he says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to his purpose. God can triumph over evil if you will let him work in your life. That is the key. Suffering is a part of the freedom that we have called choice. God gives each of us the freedom of choice every day. Have you ever thought about that? Think about how many choices you have in life. When you get up in the morning, you have a choice about what you're going to do that day. You have a choice about what you're going to put in your body. You have a choice about your attitude concerning life and others around you. You have a choice about how you're going to spend your day. You have a choice about what you are going to do in life and how you are going to treat others, whether you're going to treat them with unkindness or whether you're going to treat them with love. You have a choice about where you're going to eat during the day. You have a choice about which route you will take in your automobile. You have a choice about when you will go to bed and when you will get up. Think about all the choices that you have. You have all those choices until you marry. Now, discard the last statement. But some make bad choices in life. And when we make bad choices in life, then we face the consequences of bad choices. Suffering is no respecter of persons. When I think about these people up in Joplin and in Tuscaloosa and other places where tragedy is stricken, I realize that, you know what, it could have easily been us. How many of you a few weeks ago, and I can tell you I was, watching the internet, the television had gone out, and so I was watching the internet, trying to keep an eye on the storms that were coming to Palestine. I'm going to tell you something, there's nothing wrong, that's just good judgment, folks. That's just good sense. God didn't reveal to me, he didn't say, okay, you can go on to bed now because I'm going to take care of everything. You know, have we quit using good judgment? It is prudent for us to exercise good judgment. But at the same time, we have to remember that God is in control. Sometimes people ask the question, why? Perhaps the question ought to be, why not? Why not me? Why shouldn't I face trouble? What makes me so special as to be delivered from all the pain and the loss and the heartache? Someone said that a world of fairness gives us what we want, but a world of grace gives us more than we deserve. That's a good one for the sign, Dwight. It does. Think about it. A world of fairness gives us what we want, but the world of grace gives us more than we deserve. And sometimes there are no easy answers. Like Job, at times we must close our mouth and just simply acknowledge the working of God, even in ways that we do not understand. This morning you saw a picture up here. It was a picture of Ike Weatherly's son, Brandon, who died while serving in the United States Armed Forces. The question why probably went through his mind over and over again. Why my son? He's sitting here tonight, and certainly we have feelings for you, Ike, and I say that in love. But no doubt, all of us, perhaps, who have lost children, and since I've been in Palestine, I've spoken at memorial services for young children, for stillborn children. I've spoken at memorial services for children 2 and 3 years old. And I must admit, the question of why has rushed through my mind many, many times. Why them? Why not someone else? And the what if? What if we had done something different? Sometimes people beat themselves up with that when that really isn't the answer to it at all. Sometimes when someone does something that's wrong, we beat ourselves up into believing that, hey, we're the problem. And you're not really the problem. There are no easy answers. We just have to leave it all to God and to realize that we are to serve and we are to honor God with our life and do what we are to do. And trust in him, and love him, and obey him. And when we do that, then whatever happens, we know is within the will of God. And whatever God allows to come our way, and whatever he allows to happen to us, out of randomness, out of tragedy, we just have to hold on to him. Many would have given up. People do give up today. Sometimes they say, why? You know, if God loved me, he wouldn't allow this to happen. I'm going to tell you something. It was because God loved you that it did happen. And God has something greater in store for your life as a child of God. We just have to believe that and hold on to it. So I hope tonight, if you're going through some difficulty in your life, please realize that God is the one you hold on to here tonight. You don't hold on to the world. The world offers no answers. They can't give you anything. Job understood that. If he'd listened to his friends, he would have made the wrong decision. But he listened to God, and he received the right wisdom. God didn't always give him the answer he wanted, but he gave him the answer of God's choice. And sometimes God does not always answer us in ways that we desire the answer, but we hold on to him. And so tonight, hold on to God, hold on to him, and hold on tight. and realize that whatever tragedy comes your way, there is a God in heaven who is still in control. And even though you may be taken out of this world, you know that you're in a better place. And I've said it many, many times, even with disease, heart disease, cancer, whatever you have to go through, sometimes God takes the problem away from us, but sometimes he takes us away from the problem. Sometimes I think God takes us in moments when we are faithful unto him, lest at some point in life we might become unfaithful to him and lose our souls. And I think that has happened a lot of times. And so I pray God to take me while I'm faithful. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, you're not faithful, not to God. You're faithful to the world, but not to God. Do you know tonight, if tragedy were to strike, that you go to heaven? You really have that assurance? Sometimes people come back on Sunday night, we normally think, well, you know, those people have that assurance. They're confident about it. But you know what? I've learned to believe that that's not always the case at all. It's not. But if God were to take you tonight to stop your heart and you drew your last breath, where would you be? And you know what? That's something that doesn't happen by random. For Job also gave this truth, that it is the Lord who giveth and the Lord who takes away. It's a sobering thought. I hope you'll think about it tonight during the singing of this song of encouragement. And if you need to obey the gospel and become a Christian to make your calling and your election sure, that you'll do that tonight out of great love and affection for God, but more especially also by trusting in him and obeying him and knowing that when we do that, that God is on our side. And that he is going to look after us, and he will, while we stand and while we sing.